Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for Jesus this morning. Great word, great message. I just thank God for Ryan and Aaron. They're amazing, and they're doing amazing, and they're leading great, and I'm just so grateful for them. They start leading most mornings early at the gym as well. You'd be really impressed to see the not only Aaron and Ryan, but my grandsons, little Andrew and little Ryan, come to the gym that I go to in Oakfield. Coach Dan's here this morning, and they just do amazing. So you not only have gifted leaders, you got strong gifted leaders too. Amen. Come on. Well, Lord, thank you for this moment. Use it for your glory, I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Well, I hope you're enjoying your weekend. And next Sunday will be Communion Sunday. So for those of you that really feel like you got to get up early in the morning and prepare for the Bills to play at 1, I want to sow a seed into your mind this year. Instead of you staying home and cooking more food than you really need to eat, why don't you come to the house of God and pray for the Bills before they have their opening game. Amen? Yes, thank you, Pastor. We're going to do it. And invite somebody to come to church with you. And take one of these, take several of them, and believe God to bring the right people into your life that you can invite to come to church with you, whether it's next week or the week after or whatever. Invite them to come. In 2 weeks, it's what's called National Back to Church Sunday, but we declare every Sunday is National Back to Church Sunday. So let's do that. If you looked up front here, if you didn't come all the way in, you'll see across the front there's 13 seats with 13 flags and 13 pictures and names of the young men, and I think there was one or two women that lost their lives in Afghanistan a little over a week ago. We put them up there so you would walk by them, look at their faces, pray for their families, and remember the sacrifice that is made so you and I can sit in this building free and not have any oppression come towards us. That doesn't come for free. The blood of men and women that have gone before you and I has been given so that you and I can enjoy the freedom. Let me just say this. A week or two ago, we saw a plane leaving Afghanistan with people hanging on it and falling from the sky. And as bad as people talk about how bad the country is and how, you know, even in this area, if I see one more person say how bad Batavia is, you don't see anybody in America hanging on to a plane trying to get out. As bad and as there, listen, our country in many areas is jacked up, but it's still the greatest place in the world to live. Amen. And for those people that keep on saying, I can't wait till I get out of here, I just want to say to you, you can go. If you need a few bucks for gas, I'll help you. But I'm grateful for our area and our region. We haven't had a hurricane. It's been a long time. We've had some tornadoes fly through here, but thank God we're still standing. We haven't had a flood that's taken away our homes or anything like that. We are blessed to be where we are, and we need to continually remember it, say it, and believe it all the time. Come on, church. Next week, we'll also share communion together, and it will be just a great time in God's house. Believe God for your kids that are going back to school. I know Erin said she'd like to have them a couple more weeks. Not going to happen. They're going back this week. So, Lord, we pray for all of our children. I pray your hand upon them, protect them, bless them, give great increase to them, we pray. Keep them safe, keep them healthy, bring the right people into their lives, take the wrong ones out, I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I want to talk to you just for a few moments this morning about this word shaken. When I had two Sundays that I did not speak in church, and I can't remember the last time that happened, but I was so grateful to have just a little breather time off, and this word came to me and this thought, the word shaken, because we are living in a season where there is a shaking that is happening. And the word shaken simply means the recipient of an unpleasant experience, to feel shocked and upset and unable to think calmly or clearly. It's very important to realize that. And so many things that are happening in our nation and around the world. Fires in California, hurricane in the Gulf, that the remnants of it all come all the way up to the Northeast, and over 65 people dead. We see what happened in the Gulf, but to look at what happened in New York City and in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, and the remnants of that, what took place. I've lived in this area for most of my life. A year we lived out west, but to see the streets in New York City flooded and some of those lower apartment buildings that sat low completely engulfed with water, it's amazing to see that. You want to talk about being shaken. You know, we can go through a tough time, but when you lose a loved one, nothing compares to that in our lives. Then we're still living in a season where COVID is very real. There's fears of it all around us. And if we don't hear about it locally, the news will make sure that it sends the narrative to us that, you know, it's worse than ever. It's increasing. And evidently, through some of the statistics, it shows in parts of the country that it is increasing. So it's real, and it's something that has created the loss of lives and broken hearts and have left many really being shaken to the core. World events that cause us to wonder. With everything else going on, many didn't even realize there was over a 7.1 or 2 earthquake that happened in Haiti. Killed many people there. And, you know, we hear things like that and we say, well, it's just Haiti. There's humanity that lives there that lost lives and are broken and they're hurting today. And sometimes when we see this and we hear it, we wonder, and many say, I think the end is near. I think Jesus is coming back. And as true as those statements are, there is more to it. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 26, at that time, his voice shook the earth, referring out of Exodus 19, when Moses had an encounter with God at Mount Sinai, and the mountain itself shook. It said, at that time, his voice shook the earth. But now, he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. And the word once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken. That is, here it is, created things. I thought it was so interesting how Pastor Ryan talked about our focus not being on materialistic things. Because, my brothers and sisters, when there's a shaking in your lives, those are the first that are going to go. I don't care how much you have or what you own or how big whatever is that you have accumulated. When shaking comes in your life, that all is minimized. It means nothing to you. And he says there's a removing of what can be shaken. That is, created things. So what cannot be shaken may remain. Which is, he goes on to say, in verse 29, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Everybody say, we are receiving. It's important that you speak these words over your life. When they were singing that song this morning, I believe that your goodness is all over my life. I could just feel in this place that some people are thinking, well, I don't have any goodness. Maybe the reason that you don't have goodness is because you haven't believed for it, and you haven't declared it over your life. This is so important that you do this on a regular basis. You know, in the hardest moments, I was thinking, when they were singing that song, when we were singing the song, I remember driving in a little Dodge Omni that was rusted, and the doors creaked, and I remember, and if you were around me at that time, if you knew me at that time, you know I was giving God thanks, not just for the rusty little car I had, but what he was going to do in my life. And when you thank him, wherever you are, not for the rusty, broken down car that you're driving, maybe not for, you know, a tough job that you're in, not for a heartache or a loss, but you thank God that he has kept you and that his hand is upon you and that he has good for you. Even in the moments of darkness, he releases something over and above in your life that you never anticipated could come into your life. You can amen and clap on that if you want. If you do, it'll be a blessing that comes to you. Come on, let's give God praise and thanks for that this morning. And he says, let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Not just ho-hum. Not just, you know what, okay, we come in. You know, I don't really care for that part of the service. I'm just going to come in when it's over and I just hear the preacher preach the word. You're missing what God wants to deposit in your life. I don't know if you knew this morning, there was a supernatural occurrence that happened in the moments of our worship this morning. When we were singing that song, and then I saw Pastor Wright, I saw God speaking to him, and that's why I said, say what you're feeling. And then him singing that song and leading us in that way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. That's who God is in your life and in my life. He is a promise keeper. He has a miracle waiting for you to happen at any moment. For some of you, you've seen great miracles. But for all of you, if you'll believe it and if you'll accept it and if you'll say it, you will see it happen in your life. There's a miracle happen right now, right while I'm speaking. Some of you, you're receiving that, you're embracing that, you're saying, come on, Jesus, let that be a part of my life. And when you do, it becomes to be unfolded in your life, and you see it with your very eyes. You can't even imagine, you can't believe what you're seeing, but when you say it, you begin to see it happening in your life. And I'm thankful this morning. And he said, let us be thankful in the middle of shaking, in the middle of it, because he's got something planned greater for you than you could even imagine. And a lot of people, when they hear this and you know, when they see what's happening, I've had people say, well, we're in the last days. Jesus is coming. And the reality of that is that when we think about that, Scripture tells us, in particular in the book of Hebrews, that the last days or the latter days refer to the entire age from the moment that Jesus was on the earth to the moment that he comes back to the earth. You and I have been living in the last days since he was here. I don't know the day when he'll return, but I know he's coming. And I was always taught, and it was burned into my heart, into my soul, to live a life always expecting to see him return. But in the middle, I'm doing business until he comes. The Bible says, occupy until I come. I'm going to do what he has called me to do every single day. I'm not going to wait until some occurrence comes or until I get shaken to say, well, we better start living for God now. No, I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to start living and doing my best for him right now. And so when we see this happening, how do we survive and how do we thrive in this? I want to read this scripture to you. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the entire Bible. It's Acts chapter 4. And if you read the chapter before it, there's a story in there where Peter and John went to what is called the Gate Beautiful. And there was a man who had been begging, who had been lame for years. And the Bible says that he'd been begging there for a long time. And when Peter and John came upon him, they didn't reach into their pocket and pull out money. And let me just say this. Sometimes when people are in their worst moment, the last thing you should be doing is pulling money out and enabling that moment to continue. They looked at him and they said, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, Come to church with me. Come on. Silver and gold. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm quoting the scripture to you. You can turn to it in Acts chapter 3 and see if I'm telling you right. Silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, I give it unto thee. And he reached down and took the man's hand, and he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And the Bible says that the man not only got up walking, but he began to shake his legs and feel power because he hadn't been standing on them for years. And then the Bible says that he went walking and leaping and praising God. And you'd think this would be one of the greatest moments, and it was. But the religious people of the day had a struggle with it. The Bible says in Acts 4, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came to Peter and John. And while they were speaking to the people, they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming Jesus, the resurrection of the dead. And they seized Peter and John because it was evening, and they put them in jail. But the Bible says that many believed, and the number of men who believed grew to 5,000 because they began to declare and preach the word of the Lord. I'm going to skip a few verses. Verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was laying and being asked how he was healed, then know this, and you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but God raised from the dead. This man stands before you healed, because Jesus is the stone the builders rejected. He has become the chief cornerstone. And listen to this, verse 12, salvation is found in no other name, for there's no other name above heaven and earth whereby we must be saved. And then this is the scripture that I base my life on. Verse 13, and when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, uneducated, just off the farm boys, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note, because these men had been with Jesus. Show me somebody that will spend their life around the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I'll show you a man or a woman that will change the world. Let me skip down. Verse 23, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people, reported all the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God, sovereign Lord. They said, you have made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain, and the kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one? Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Do you catch that? If you're reading that in your Bible, you need to underline it, circle it, put a point next to it. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Wow! That is incredible. And here's Peter and John. They're facing in a moment where their faith has been shaken, and what they were doing wasn't accepted and wasn't embraced like they thought. And they threatened to stop them from preaching, but they said, we're not going to do what you tell us to. We're going to do what he tells us to. And how did Peter and John handle this shaking? And how can you and I handle a shaking in their lives? What did they do first? Well, the Bible says that when life shakes you, number one, you got to connect with the right people in your life. The Bible says that Peter and John, in verse 23, immediately went back to their people, to share what had happened. They went back to their posse. They went back to their tribe. They went back to their homeboys and girls to tell them what happened. And what happens when you and I are shaken? We don't excuse ourselves from the house of the Lord. We don't run from the people of God. We run to them because they hold an answer for us and will help heal us through the moments that we are being shaken in our lives. Praise God for a church family that will help us, that when we are shaken, people don't condemn us and criticize us and gossip about us, but they come alongside of us and they pray for us, they hug us, they love us, they tell us things like, it's going to be okay, you're going to make it, you're going to get through this. This is just a moment in your life that God is moving things around. But on the other side of it comes a blessing, comes hope, comes peace, comes a revelation of the goodness of God that is going to happen in your life. Well, I was thinking this morning, I don't know why I even thought of it. I remember 22, 23 years ago, a couple came into the church when we were at the YWCA. Had junk hanging on the ceiling, and we had to put up with stuff that you can't even imagine. And I remember the message that I preached that day. I remember the Bible says that a just man falls seven times, right, Jim Booty? A just man falls seven times, but he rises up again. And I believe, I remember a couple coming in that had been put down, that had been talked about, that had been marginalized. And I remember that day that God did a work in Jim and Robin Booty's life through a time of shaking. And he's still here and he's still serving the Lord. And they are still loving Jesus with all of their heart. Because when you're shaken, God will bring you to the right people. What kind of people are that? Those are people who are interested in your life. I saw this picture and I just thought it was so good. Some talk to you in their free time and some free their time to talk to you. Learn the difference. Learn the difference. God will bring you to people that want to be involved in your life. People that will be in one accord in your life, that will help you through these moments in your life when you are shaken. He'll bring you to people that will pray for you, interceding people. The Bible says they begin to pray and ask God to give them confidence and boldness. The second thing, when life shakes you, you need to find the right perspective. In other words, you have to find the perspective that God would see. What is he doing in this? Instead of you just saying, oh my gosh, what is happening to me? You stop and you see your situation from a different point of view. Sometimes when people get upset and they're faced with insurmountable problems, you just stop and say, God, why are you doing this to me? But that is a moment for you to really see the perspective and evaluate. Look realistically about what is taking place. And is the enemy causing you to imagine or think or say things that aren't true in the middle of that shaking? You have to watch what comes out of your mouth. The enemy might sow something in your mind. You have to take control and authority over that thought. But when you start speaking about it, it starts becoming a part of your reality. And you have to acknowledge the sovereignty of the Lord. In verse 24, they said, Lord, we know you're God. We know you knew the beginning from the end in this. It's important to find the right perspective. I read this little story. I thought it was so cute. A family got a letter from their daughter in college that read, when I saw this, I thought of Paige, and I thought, how cute this is that she's here. This is not Paige. Dear Mom and Dad, I want you to know that my leg is mending well. I've had a nice stay in the hospital after I broke my leg. This is news to the mom and dad. My leg was broken when I jumped out of the third floor window when my dorm caught on fire. However, I was rescued by one of the best looking guys I'd ever seen, and he's been visiting me in the hospital, and he has asked me to marry him. He's from England, and I'm flying next week to London to get married to him, love your daughter. P.S. Our dorm didn't catch fire. My leg isn't broken. I didn't jump out of my dorm window. I didn't meet a guy from England, and I'm not going to get married. However, I did get a D in English and an F in math, and I just wanted you to see it in its proper perspective. Come on. And that's what Peter and John are trying to tell you and I. You've got to look at things from a proper perspective and apply the scripture to whatever it is you and I are facing right now. Hebrews 12, 28, back to Hebrews, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So he says, let us be thankful and worship God acceptably with reverence in all three. Don't forget to give God thanks. Thanks for what? Me being shaken? Things, heartache in my life? Me being fearful? Things not working the way I wanted them to work out? You know, I use Jim and Robin a minute, but I can go all over the building this morning. I know, you know, people that I've talked to over the years and watched the moments that they were shaken the most. And how God took those moments and turned it around and revealed something so beautiful that the half has not yet been told what he's going to do with them. Give him thanks because we are receiving something in our lives in the midst of the shaking. We are receiving our future. We are receiving the destiny, the dreams that we had only hoped for. They are coming to pass. And then lastly, number four, he said to worship him. Not just when it's going good. It's so fun to worship. I told Erin last week when she preached, I said, if it's a good day and the Bills win on Saturday, people will be excited. And it was a beautiful day and the Bills won. But we don't just worship God when everything is going good. When things are being shaken, the Bible says we bring a sacrifice of praise. Something that cost you something. We worship him when I'm uncertain, when I'm confused, when I'm disappointed, when I've been let down, when I've been hurting. The scripture says, worship God acceptably. And how do you do that? Come on up, Sarah. With reverence and awe. When we were in worship this morning, I sensed the power of God so strongly in here. For some of you, you were worshiping in that moment of reverence and awe. Come on up, Ryan. And that's where he wants to bring hope and healing and strength and purpose and revelation and his goodness to your life. He doesn't leave you in the moment that you've been broken. He doesn't, and he didn't create it. He didn't create the brokenness. He didn't create your spouse leaving you or you're losing your job or whatever. He didn't create that. He didn't create the COVID that you're dealing with right now. If my friend from Chicago is watching today, God didn't create that, but he's going to use that in your life. He's going to reveal something so beautiful in your life, but we need to worship him. We need to honor him. We need to give him the praise and the glory in the middle of our hurt and our heartache. And when we do, something beautiful begins to happen in your life and mine. Close your eyes. Bow your head with me today. Spirit of the living God, like you do all the time, have your way in our hearts and in our lives today. For some that are here and maybe watching online, you've never given your life to Jesus. You need to do that today, right now. Say this, Jesus, take my life. Take my shaking. I give it to you for you to reveal your will and your purpose to me. I ask you to be my Savior and my Lord. Come in, Jesus. Live big in me today. I pray that in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Would you stand with us? Jireh, you are enough. Come on, you know it. Jireh, you are enough. I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough. Come on, if it's your prayer, lift your hand and tell them, Jireh, you are enough. Oh, Jireh, you are enough. And I will be content in every circumstance. And Jireh, you are enough. Father, we cling to that, that you are enough. In the shaking times, Father, give us eyes to hear, eyes to see, ears to hear what your Spirit is accomplishing. Father, we believe your word, that you work all things for the good of them that love you and are called according to your purpose and promise, Father. And so, Father, we realize that everything is being used for our good. The shaking, the difficulty, even the discouragement at times, Father, that you're guiding to us. You're a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we declare that with our mouths, that you work all things for the good. Just say that. You work all things for the good. And I believe it in my heart this morning. Father, thank you for your house. Thank you for this, your people. Thank you for your presence, most of all. We ask you, Father, that over the next weeks and months, that you'd manifest yourself in such a powerful, profound way in this place that we'd never believe it, God. We thank you for it today. Thank you for your promise in this place, in our lives, in our families. In Jesus' name, would you say amen this morning? Amen. It's been a great time today in the Lord's house. We've had such a great time, haven't we? 12 noon at St. Anthony's in just about an hour from now. Other than that, you better eat a burger, a piece of steak. Oh, my Lord, you should give me a better amen than that. Maybe some shrimp, something. Enjoy your weekend. We love you so much. We'll see you real soon.